I'm Bill Zortman, and this is It's Your Agribusiness Show. It's show number 584 in our original It's Your Business series. That's 584.
Trying to catch me off guard, weren't you?
I was. Yeah, I almost did.
I see how you operate.
Okay. Busy show. Are you all ready to roll?
I think so, yeah. Let's fire away.
All right. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack had hoped to be with us today, but he's traveling. He, of course, explained the past and now signed new farm law, and he said he'll be with us sooner rather than later. Stay tuned. However, later in our show today, our own Secretary of Agriculture, Lucas Lynch, will join us after he clears the morning meetings with the legislature in the state capitol. Among the topics in our ag show this morning, propane cost. What are we going to do about it? Ethanol, could it be a part of the answer to keeping prices from rising to $4 a gallon this spring? We'll talk about the farm law from key players at SDSU, Sylvia Christian, Executive Director of the Stock Growers Association. She also has late information on the relief fund, including the stock show out west over the weekend. We'll look at Holt McDowell and with the Starks, our iGrow.org sponsors with SDSU. We'll talk about what they're up to, their travels, and talk about farm coverage as well. And then we'll talk farm banking in Mitchell with Plains Commerce Bank. But let's start the hour with Rick Shields, Midwest Communication Farm Director. Rick, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Bill.
Well, the farm bill, lots happened since we last talked last Monday.
Yes, it certainly has, and it's nice to be able to look at it in the rearview mirror after these, 2.5, 3 years or so in the making. And now that it's signed, we can call it the farm law as well as the farm bill. So the ceremony Saturday, or Friday rather, here in Michigan kind of capped off what had been a very tumultuous last home stretch for the bill, of course, and for a while there it looked like we might not be able to get it again. We certainly did, and I think everybody is, the one word would say for both sides, relieved.
You know, I was following along on the travelogue with what the president was doing with Air Force One. It looked like it was going to be Kentucky, and then it was Michigan. So what did you offer the president to come to Michigan and make the signing there?
Well, I think for one thing, it had to do with Senator Debbie Stabenow. Certainly was a key player all along from the earliest days with the various meetings around the country, the various hearings. She and on the Democratic side was very much involved with that, and certainly it that might be one of the things influencing the stop here at what, according to at least Michiganders, is the oldest of the land grant universities. Don't say that to folks from the Ohio University or a few other places, but definitely that had something to do with it, I believe.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Biggest importance of the passage of the Farm Bill?
I think summarized in one word or phrase, compromise is possible.
And though it may take a long time to do.
It may take a long time to do it, but compromise in terms of food stamps, compromise in terms of so many other things from, well, the north-south divide in agriculture and the fact that elimination of direct payments took place, risk management tools now to the fore, and on the side, of course, some benefits from a conservation standpoint and energy savings and all. Still a lot of hard feelings about cool from a lot of the livestock groups, but again, it's a compromise, and as I think both sides have been very clear in stating, not perfect from their standpoint, but the best we could do.
Well, now that we don't have the farm bill to kick around, we got to have other breaking news. Do you have some?
We are expanding our horizons, aren't we? Yes. Well, the White House review of the EPA proposal, certainly that's one. They've been actually working on that since September, but when it comes to taking a look at such things as waters of the United States, you're going to hear that one, too, put out as regulatory overreach to get everything down to a mud puddle to a major river. So we'll see in the upcoming months just how that develops. Another thing we hope doesn't develop in the coming months, drought. certainly some positive news from the standpoint of moisture, and that looks like in the near-term forecast also to be the case across the northern U.S., more moisture. And in spite of that, 7 to 9 inches of rain out in northern California, I heard them saying it this morning, probably not a drought breaker. Well, of course, it all comes at one time. I guess that's what they're thinking about there. But you wonder what it would take to break a drought if that doesn't certainly put a good dent in it, let's hope. And then something you're going to be dealing with later on this hour, I understand, propane.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, thanks for starting our hour.
We always enjoy doing it here.
Thank you so much. And we'll talk more about the Farm Bill law later in the hour, but there are concerns about propane and gas prices. Matt Merritt from POET is with us. Matt, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Bill. How's it going?
Good. I asked you to put together some figures on ethanol price spread to gasoline. Can you do that?
Yeah, right now ethanol is an incredible value for consumers. We're at about 73 cents a gallon cheaper than gasoline right now. So there's a real opportunity out there for drivers to take advantage of the cost savings that ethanol offers.
The big corn crop makes a difference, but we're still kind of faced with what do we do, how do we keep busy, how do we use our product and keep from seeing higher prices over the next month?
Well, yeah, like you mentioned, you know, we did have the one of the largest corn, well, the largest corn crop in history that farmers brought in, and that's obviously led to some really low feedstock costs for all of our plants, and so that bodes well, I'd say, for the future, you know, for drivers looking to fill up with some affordable fuel, you know, and it's interesting that this is happening at a time when the EPA is also looking at lowering the amount of ethanol that's used in fuel for 2014. So it's an interesting situation right now. We got the largest corn crop in history. We have ethanol that even before that has been selling at a really substantial discount to gasoline. I mean, there's really no debate that drivers are saving money by filling up with ethanol right now. And this is kind of the time when the EPA is deciding, well, you know, maybe we should be cutting back on our ethanol use. So, you know, we're kind of waiting to see what happens on that front. You know, it's certainly something that I think the listeners should be keeping their eyes on to see how that all comes out. You know, hopefully once the EPA takes a look at all the different comments that came in and considers those, they'll kind of come to their senses and reverse course on that and allow drivers to use even more ethanol.
Let me ask you a question, because I had a couple of people this morning in our building here, our Midwest Communication building, that were saying that they won't use ethanol because they don't feel they get good gas mileage with it, that it actually dilutes what they're getting. And you would tell them?
I would tell them that right now, and actually for quite a long time, it doesn't matter what metric you're looking at, you're saving money by using ethanol. I mean, the price discount is so substantial that any small drop in mileage isn't even going to make a dent in the cost savings that you get using ethanol. You know, ethanol does have slightly less energy than straight gasoline. You know, and some figures have said you lose a couple miles per gallon, if that, using ethanol. But it's so insignificant that you can hardly really tell the difference. You know, ethanol is got a lot of value in it that a lot of people don't recognize sometimes, in that it's an octane enhancer. So, you know, ethanol provides additional octane for fuel. It's a very valuable product, and we're seeing a lot of people that are realizing that and that are using a lot of it.
Let me ask you, you've got some upgrading that's being done right now, and you're installing corn oil in all of your plants?
Yeah, we've just finished installing corn oil in all the plants. You know, at POET, we don't talk about ourselves as ethanol producers. We talk about ourselves as biorefiners. So what that means is, you know, we're taking in typically corn, and we're refining that into a number of products. Of course, the most substantial of those is ethanol, but we also have corn oil, as you mentioned, now being produced at all of our plants. Most of that also goes into fuel production through biodiesel, but that's certainly a market that we'll look at in the future, possibly for human consumption, maybe even. Some of it even can go into feeding operations as well. You might have heard that we have distiller's grain. It's a high-protein animal feed. It's actually the second largest feed ingredient in the United States. So we produce that as well. Some of our plants produce liquefied carbon dioxide that you'll see in your beverages. And then we're looking at a lot of new products, too. We got a lot of people in the lab out here at Poet who are looking for new ways to sort of take advantage of corn, get the most value possible from that.
Matt Merritt from Poet, we appreciate you taking time. If people want more information about ethanol, websites they can go to?
Oh, there's a lot of good ones out there. Of course, we like poet.com over here.
Imagine that. Director of Public Relations saying
that.
Matt, we appreciate you keeping us up to date. We hope that you'll continue to do that with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
You bet. We have a lot of Matts in our show today. This one is coming to us by Skype. Matt Dearson is SDSU Ag Economist, and he's going to talk Farm Bill Law, its effects on crop insurance as well. Matt, we know it's a little colder in Brookings than it is here, but you can keep that cold air north if you like.
We'll send it down your way anytime you want, Bill.
All right, let's talk about the Farm Bill itself. It's not going to affect the weather, but... you've been writing about this for some time. You understand what's involved. What should we know that is important from the Farm Bill, and should we even take it seriously and then just look at 2019?
Yeah, I would take it seriously. It's now known as the Agricultural Act of 2014. It ended the most controversial subsidy, the direct payments to farmers, and that's a big deal in South Dakota. That was, you know, typically around $140 million a year was coming in. A lot of that was being captured or built into land values. So with that out of the way, we can probably look forward to less controversy globally with the Ag Act. And then looking forward, there's some new aspects and additions in the program.
As we look at the Farm Bill itself, the media always tries to pick out the winners and losers. I'm just going to ask you to pick out winners and losers in South Dakota. You just identified one. Can you do some more?
I think probably your broader consumer is still okay. There was a fair amount of nutrition spending in there. That helps just a broad cross-section of people. As far as the farm sector itself, maybe a little bit of a mixed message coming with the slight reduction in conservation reserve program, the conservation program. Over time, they're talking about cutting down the overall number of acres. So if you think about South Dakota being sort of a hunting recreation state, fewer CRP acres could be a negative. At the same time, they said that they're going to keep the acres in CRP as the most targeted or highly erodible and things of that nature, which is probably also better livestock habitat. So a little bit of a mixed message there. And then for the farmer in particular, things are just different. They streamline some things, and probably the biggest single new thing is the PLC or price loss coverage aspect, which is going to function a lot like the old counter-cyclical program.
The crop insurance side of it, big part of it. Can you explain to us exactly what difference it makes and who it affects?
Crop insurance is a huge deal. It was lobbied for hard by the farm sector, and also it wasn't objected to by tax, you know, pro-taxpayer groups or something else. It does involve a subsidy, and that continues. But the subsidy encourages adoption of the insurance, which in general is seen as a good thing, and cuts down on disaster aid and ad hoc programs. So it really brings or continues to bring stability to the farm sector on the production side. And they trumped up or made it sound like they'd added a lot to that crop insurance side. I don't think they did. That the typical South Dakota or neighboring producer is going to see. And some of those provisions are even rolled and won't be brought in really into play until next fiscal year. So in the short run, it is more of those direct commodity programs like the PLC.
Matt Dearson, SDSU ag economist. And if people need more information, can they go to igrow.org and to follow along?
Yes, we've been posting some stuff there. And now that the bill has become law, we'll continue to sort of weigh in and try to help all parties involved make decisions as they go forward with the new law.
Matt, appreciate you taking time to be with us.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit to the Holt McDowell boys, the iGrow.org sponsors, about crop insurance and what they're seeing out in the landscape. They're our official travelers of the Agribusiness Show. We'll talk to them in just a moment. Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. Time to bring in the Traveling Starks. Is that a family act?
It could be.
Yeah.
Depends on the day.
Holt McDowell Insurance, official iGrow.org sponsors. Farm legislation becoming a part of the landscape and the crop insurance side of it, and farmers insurance in general needs our understanding. We have to go to our farm insurance people to understand it. Can you guys explain it?
Well, one thing I want to jump in before we get going on this, with Matt Merritt from Poet, we drive about 60,000 miles a year, and we burn E30, E50, E85, and you might see a slight decrease in miles per gallon. So anybody who's saying the like, they don't know. I mean, honestly.
And really the soft expenses that you don't have with ethanol that you do have with regular gasoline. And if the mile per gallon deal is your only tool to measure, you're being narrow in your view, because there better be more things that you measure. Ask a trucking company if they measure just miles per gallon, and they'll laugh out loud at you. We should be that diligent with our cars. I mean, it's a marvelous product. We endorse it. We use it.
And if you didn't believe in it, you wouldn't say it. You guys
right.
are just
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely.
I've learned these guys real quick. You know, they've picked on me and some of the guests and tried to drive a wedge between us. So,
but I'll tell you what. I mean, you go out in the landscape now, and E15, E30, E50, E85 is much more prevalent than it was 6 months ago. I mean, this is a growing movement. People need to get behind this and realize this is the future of energy. We can grow it. It's renewable. It's one of those things that it does not affect the environment as badly as oil and gasoline. So let's jump on board and get rolling with this thing.
This is a political deal. This is not a realist. This is not a user's view. This is a political view. That's why it's such an uphill grind. And the politics of it mean more to people than the idea of how good the product is. And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's absolutely insane that the politics become greater than the good or the value.
If it was strictly business, this would not be a question.
All right, crop insurance.
We think it's a fluid area. We think, as Matt talked about before, Matthew, some people I know, but as talked about, it's a fluid thing. And I don't think this is something you need to just discuss with your insurance agent, what you buy. I think you need to deal with a lot of people and look at records and have good records and have an idea, because this thing's going to change and it's going to be exciting. And with excitement comes sorrow and joy. Mm-hmm. So figure out where you want to be, how much you can lose, and what you want to do. And that's how you should buy crop insurance.
What's on the minds of people? You travel a lot through the Midwest, as much, you just said 60,000 miles. Mm-hmm. So what are people telling you? What are they concerned about in February?
Everybody's always concerned about moisture. That's, you know, that's the most important thing ever. And it appears to me, I think Rick Shields talked about it, there's a fair amount of moisture in the upper Midwest. It's good. One of the interesting things that if you read the paper, the state of Nebraska has to pay somebody in Kansas $10.8 million for using too much water. So, again, Mark Twain's my favorite guy in the world. Water's for fighting over, whiskey's for drinking. And that's what is always going to be our fight, is water. And it's important. It's vital. Until they make a corn that can grow out of the cracks on Interstate 29, then water's going to be a necessity that we all fight for.
They never say it like it is, do they? Travis and Roger Starks, Holt McDowell. You guys have a university, too, to keep people informed. What's coming up?
Well, we've got some contracts, classes coming up. one of the big things for our clients who get involved in custom spraying and get involved with contracts, whether it's land or property. We have some classes for that. We have some safety for spring, the spring's spraying season. We have some classes for that coming up. And a lot of the general stuff, whether it be property valuations, whether it be the ACA, we got a little bit of everything.
I'm a little more practical than my gifted son, and part of my practicality, probably one of
I wrote that down, by the way.
One of the biggest problems I see is propane. We skipped over propane here a minute ago, but the stay-fill philosophy and these stay-fill contracts that you have with your propane sales, that's a contract that you have. Better know what it says. Better understand what it's in there. Better understand how much responsibility as the tank owner and that you have. So those are simple contracts, but we see that becoming a red hot issue because of the cold weather.
And not to make this thing go any longer, but again, in the seed treatment world, with your vendor's endorsement, you better understand what that says. If you're treating seed, if you're purchasing treated seed, you need to understand what coverage you have, what coverage you don't have, what coverage might go back to the cooperative.
Because you're altering the product that Monsanto or DuPont or Syngenta or whoever else out there produced this seed. You're altering it. So now it's your problem. It's not their problem.
All right. How do they reach you if they want you to pontificate in their town?
Give us a call, 605-339-3874. Look us up on our website at HoltMcDowell.com.
I know Rev was wanted to know if we had depleted the oxygen in here, and we're a little concerned.
Hey, and do we get any college credit for listening to the economics lesson from the ag guy?
You know, we're applying for that.
Okay, good.
So we'll see if that works.
Look forward to it.
Look for them. They'll be on the road, Holt McDowell.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk over in Mitchell, talk a little with Plains Commerce, talk with Sylvia with the stock growers out. Yes, Sylvia's back, despite what you said, and Lucas and Pierre, all a part of
Your Sioux Falls weather.
Plains Commerce Bank, the ag voice of It's Your Agribusiness. Let's see, Luke Rendell, Roger DeRoshi should be over in Mitchell this morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, Bill. Good to be on the show.
You betcha. You guys are establishing quite the settlement with Plains Commerce over in Mitchell. Why is Mitchell so important to Plains Commerce?
We sure are, Bill. Mitchell's so important to us. Excuse me. We've been adding customers down here in Mitchell for quite some time now, and being the community bank that we are, we felt it was a necessity to be down here and have a face to represent us down here in Mitchell. So it allows us to better serve our customers in the area and to seek out new clients for us, too.
Well, you know, if I was talking with Rocky, he'd be talking about renewals. Are the renewals new over there? They're not renewals?
A lot of our renewals, some are existing renewals that are coming over that have been, existing customers of us. But we are seeing, customers that are refinancing, and this is the best time to do it right now just because it's a brand new year. Even if an operating line has been set up at another institution, it's quite simple to go through that process of updating financial statements. Typically, they're already updated, so it doesn't take a whole lot of work. It's just a matter of getting the numbers together, putting a projection together for 2014, put a plan together, what will be planted, how many cattle will be run, how will the operation work. And from there, we can take the numbers and tailor a loan program that fits their needs.
Moisture, mood, and moving ahead. I know those have all got to be concerns of anybody that's in the ag economy.
Very true. And that's a big issue right now as far as, are we going to have enough moisture? What are prices going to do? Roger can probably talk to Lee a little bit more about that. But I think, in general, the attitude on a lot of producers is quite positive. Really, you got no choice in this kind of game. You got to have a good head on your shoulders and think positive and march forward here.
Luke Rendell and Roger DeRoshi, Plains Commerce Bank, over in Mitchell. Propane an issue over there?
Yeah, I think it is. It's kind of all over an issue, Bill. The main thing I think that we want to express to our producers is that they need to have a good business head on their shoulders, as Luke kind of mentioned. And, You know, the suppliers of the seed and fertilizer chemical, they offer off-season discounts and contracting, and they shoot the price out there, and the producers have the opportunity to take advantage of that price, and if they don't like it, they can wait a little bit. But we like to be proactive on this, and the price looks right and the discounts are favorable. I think the producers should take advantage of that.
Most asked question you're getting?
Kind of what we're looking at as far as harvest time prices, and I think we got a real important USDA report coming out this morning at 11 o'clock, and the market is looking for a little bit of less production maybe and a little bit of more usage, so we're kind of looking for a favorable USDA report this morning.
We'll see what happens there. Contact information for you guys with Plains Commerce over in Mitchell.
Well, they can call us at 996-1102, or they can come visit us at 1200 South Burr, and we like to say that's kind of between Campbell's Supply and Cubby's Gas Station, or they can go online at www.plainscommerce.com.
Luke and Roger, Plains Commerce Bank in the Mitchell area. Stay warm, guys.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep.
You too.
Thank you.
Sylvia Christian, South Dakota Stock Growers Association, has been a frequent contributor for our It's Your Agribusiness show. Sylvia, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
You had a stock show out west, and from your notes, you indicated it was good for the continuing fundraising to help the stock families.
That's right. The Black Hills Stock Show here just wrapped up after 10 days, and I think we had a really good show. It was a lot of fun to see so many people out, and I think it was a good chance for some of these families to come to town. We had some great auctions and fundraising events. On Wednesday alone, we raised right at $100,000, and I think we're going to be a little bit over $200,000 for the whole show, which is really great. It'll come back into the Rancher Relief Fund and help us get some more money out to those families.
The country of origin was an important side for livestock, and that's something that you pushed, and you did have a congresswoman and a senator that visited with you at the stock show.
That's right, Bill. Country of origin labeling was something we were watching very closely in this farm bill process, and it got to be a pretty contentious issue. Stock growers have supported that from the very beginning. I think we're proud of the product we raise out here, and we want to make sure our customers can choose what they're purchasing for their families. At the end of the day, country of origin labeling was protected in the farm bill, and Kristi Noem and John Thune and Senator Tim Johnson were all in support of that this year, and it was really nice. We did have the opportunity to meet with Kristi Noem and John Thune out here on Friday at the stock show, and I had the opportunity to thank them for their work on country of origin labeling, but also visit with them quite a bit about the livestock indemnity program and some of the other disaster provisions that we're dealing with.
Sylvia Christian with the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. Cold weather January, cold weather February. It's affecting livestock, how they're gaining weight, and obviously with what we've had happen in the last 6 months, future generations also affected with livestock.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a hard winter, and it's taking extra hay and extra care from all these families out here that are caring for their livestock. But it's, you know, with the prices what they are and the markets being high right now, I think it gives us a lot of hope and opportunity as we look forward. Now we have a farm bill. We had over $4 million of the Ranchers Relief Fund distributed back out to families, and I think we're on our way to being able to give them a leg up and getting started for the future again.
Can people still help with the relief fund?
That's absolutely. We can still accept donations. You can go to our website, ranchersrelief.org, and we will commit to continuing to make sure that money gets out to the families who need it the most.
Sylvia Christian, South Dakota Stock Growers Association, as always, thanks for our updates. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we'll check the loan snapshot of the day, check some jobs, and see if our Secretary of Agriculture in South Dakota, Lucas Lynch, is taking our calls. All a part of It's Your Agribusiness.
Yeah,
Jim.
Greg abandoned me. He went to a closing this morning, so I get to talk to me again.
Oh, well, have you got some numbers for us on the loan snapshot?
I do, and I'm real proud of them, actually. Conventional rates are 4.375% with an APR of 4.569. FHA loans are 4.125 with an APR of 5.814, holding steady. Of course, you know, these rates change by the minute sometimes, so can't guarantee anything until you call in and get your loan locked in. And, you know, not every loan fits everybody, so there's all types of different loans, and you just need to talk to a loan officer, and they'll counsel you through this.
All right, so what number do they call, or what to website?
275-2777, or at vantamortgage.com and take the application right on there, and one of our loan officers will get right back to you.
And again, 18-7 means that they can be looking and call you guys at any time, basically.
Oh, any time. When you call, you'll be prompted to our on-call banker, and they can answer your questions up to midnight every night.
Amazing. Jim Lowe, Advanta Mortgage, thanks for being with us in the last hour when we were able to do the report card for the first month of the year.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Stay Jim
warm,
Lowe.
Everybody. Stay warm. Stay inside.
Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. Before we talk with Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch in South Dakota here, let's see what Russ Huvendick, directionalmotivation.com, client staffing solutions can help us with on the job front. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Bill. I don't know if I'm as dedicated as Jim going up to midnight to help people, but I sure will if need be.
Agriculture and construction have been our topics this morning, and you as an executive recruiter will be able to help them. Just call or go online, correct?
Right. They can just reach us here at the office. My number is 605-362-8176, and then my extension is 101. Our office website is clientstaffingsolutions.com, and then, of course, we have our free resource site, which is directionalmotivation.com.
And again, there's no charge to do that, and you actually have two books that you've written that would help people to get those jobs, to know what to do in a job interview setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had just tremendous feedback just over the weekend. I had several other comments that came in about the value of the books and what it's done for people in the interview process. So I encourage people to go ahead and go out. It's how to interview, what employers want to hear in today's competitive job market. And for veterans as well, there's another book, Deployment to Employment, a guide for military veterans transitioning to civilian employment.
Tomorrow we'll visit with a veteran with quite the story to tell in our 9 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should be fun. I think the listeners will really enjoy that.
Russ Huvendick, who did help at one time a guy named Lynch, Lucas Lynch, get a job. And he's on the other line, so he says we need to move along and see if he can do some help with agriculture in the state now that you got him on the right track.
Yeah, Lucas has done a fantastic job for the state of South Dakota. He really has.
So have you. We appreciate all you do, too, Russ. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right. Said mentioned Lucas Lynch was in Washington last Tuesday when the Senate finally approved the Farm Bill. And Lucas, glad to have you with us this morning.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. Glad to be with you. Yeah, it's been a long time since 1997 when a young college graduate was talking about his career, and I met Russ for the first time. So pretty neat that all these years later we can reconnect on a day like today.
From Russ to the meeting last week when the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, got the thumbs up, what was it like being in that meeting with all those people in similar positions that you were in?
You know, Bill, just an excellent sense of camaraderie amongst all of the ag officials, from our secretaries, commissioners, and directors of ag. Frankly, when the announcement came through, Secretary Vilsack was still addressing the crowd, and immediately when the word came in that it passed, standing ovation filled the room, cheers and excitement, because we know how important this Farm Bill is, not just to our producers, but also to the consumers in our country that enjoy food safety and food security.
What were the concerns? Obviously, you had a chance to meet with some of those people that are your counterparts in other states. The concerns from other secretaries of agriculture that you were meeting with and talking with?
You know, the concerns, as you can imagine, if you've seen one State Department of Agriculture in the United States, you've really just seen one State Department of Agriculture. That's how unique the needs of the different ag departments are across the country. FSMA, which is the Food Safety Modernization Act, is getting quite a bit of traction in terms of concern, and part of that is working through the rules and implementation of FSMA since it's passed Congress, and you know the impact that has in other ag, maybe produce producing states, for example. What they don't want to have happen is the imports to have a different standard from those of us that create food in our country for our country, and so if they're going to apply a standard, they want it to apply across the board, not just to our current producers, but any foods that we import into our country. That's one example. Obviously, ethanol is something that was very much top of mind. Administrator McCarthy, who is the EPA administrator, came in and gave a really, beans and bullets, no-nonsense discussion with the secretaries and commissioners of ag. And by her doing that, it really showed that there is a commitment to renewable energy in our future. And they get that when they create or show a potential hesitation in the marketplace, that could have some ramifications that no one wants to see happen. And so we want to see a continued stable political environment for renewable energy. And we really got the sense that the EPA is committed to at least seeing some degree of that continuing to move forward.
You know, you did ask a direct question to the secretary involving South Dakota. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, Bill, I might be a new Secretary of Agriculture, but one thing I don't shy away from is the microphone if I have an opportunity to ask a question on behalf of our state. And so right when he finished up, it was a moment where there was a little lull, and I grabbed the microphone and I said, Mr. Secretary, on behalf of South Dakota, really two comments. I thanked him for his willingness to take a good hard look at South Dakota after the Atlas blizzard. I said, your focus on our state is important, and then also your willingness to send currently Undersecretary Michael Skuse out to Western South Dakota on his behalf. I thanked him for it. And then he said something really interesting. He says, the Farm Bill means a lot to a lot of different groups, but he says, there's no doubt in my mind that the Farm Bill and the passage of the Farm Bill, a lot of the discussion of the disaster relief and the livestock disaster programs and South Dakota's impact of that blizzard had an effect, had an emotional effect on our country leaders, because they saw pain from the imagery, from the photos, frankly, from our congressional delegation. Congresswoman Noem was, wherever she could be, talking on behalf of our producers, Senator Thune, Senator Johnson. There's nothing that brings our state together like a crisis and a hardship. And we saw that, from across state government, our federal partners, and the secretary himself saw that and recognized it. So one of the things that came of that is just making a good hard request as they make the decisions to put the programs through the funnel of their staff to deal with and implementing those programs of the Farm Bill. We really wanted to see the livestock indemnity program take a priority, because that's real money, Bill, going into the producers' hands here in Western South Dakota. And ironically, those are producers that never looked to the government for anything. And here is a case in point where that disaster assistance may be very well be the difference between people who put our food production as their mainstay, their livelihood, give them some stability. It doesn't make them whole. By no means will it make them whole, but it might give them the opportunities to keep the next generation on the family ranch.
We're in our last minute, if you will. The legislature, what should we know as far as farm legislation there?
A lot of what we're currently dealing with is working through. We're talking about food safety and our fluid milk supply in our state. We do have a segment of our population that really wants to have access to unpasteurized milk, and the Department of Agriculture is working as best that we can with our legislators to have a good constructive dialogue on how we continue to move forward in that process and still maintain the good food integrity and quality control that we have for the rest of the dairy industry in our state. That's one aspect. Animal cruelty is another one that we're making forward progress on. Again, it's your citizen legislature. If you have thoughts or opinions and you want to share them, you can share them directly with your legislators, but you can also share them directly with your members of state government. So we stand by for your questions and look forward to your phone calls.
Lucas Lynch, South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture, thanks for taking time with us this morning on It's Your Agribusiness.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, we have time to check in and see what the Main Street to Wall Street report looks like. Todd, good morning.
Good show, Bill.
Thank you, sir.
I love hearing that farm bill finally got done. Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. Stocks are trading lower as investors await to hear what Janet Yellen's first monetary policy report to lawmakers that are due out tomorrow. In corporate news, shares of Yelp are trading higher on reports that Yahoo would include Yelp's ratings of local businesses in its search results. So far this morning, in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is utilities, worst performing sector is energy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 46 points at 15,747. S&P is down 4 at 1,792. And the NASDAQ is up 2 points at 4,127. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 180 million shares. Decliners are outnumbering advancers by a 2-to-1 margin. In commodity markets, gold is up $7 at $1,274. Silver up 8 cents. Crude oil prices are up 19 cents at $100 per barrel. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronics down 3 cents at $13.54. Citigroup off 37 cents at $48.99. Raven down 32 cents at $35. Summit Hotel Properties trading at $8.85. Meta Financial Bank down 37 cents at $38.55. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
And Todd, when our audience needs more information, how can they reach you?
Well, with minus 14 below weather, they got to come to my office because I'm not leaving for a while.
Oh!
37, just teasing. 3710375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, thanks for joining us on It's Your Agribusiness.
Have a great week.
You betcha. You know, as cold as it is here, it's always colder up in Brookings, and we want to thank Matt this morning for taking care of the iGrow.org. We need had to make a decision between food and Matt. Matt, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to do food right now. I know that I'll probably owe you lunch or something on that, but we'll talk with you again next week if that's okay. But
I'll hold you to it.
All right. We do need to check in with Valentino's, John, at 41st and Willow. I don't think Matt Knipling qualifies for those over 55, but some of the rest of us do, and this is a Senior Monday.
It sure is, Bill, and as we're talking, I'm just stirring up the soup, making sure it's hot and steamy and ready for the people coming in. And it is Senior Friday, and again,
Monday.
55, and Senior Monday, I'm sorry. And 55 and under will get another 10% off of their buffet all day.
Well, and those people that don't have time to come in for lunch, they could actually get an express lunch.
Yes, they can. We have 11 different express lunches starting as low as $3.75. And one of the options on that is soup and salad and breadsticks. So we got about all the bases covered. It's a lot better than fast food, most of our customers tell us, and a great alternative, and most of the time it's cheaper.
I think the deal is it's way better than fast food, but it's actually just as fast, Bill, because you go in and you're done. You just start. You just hit the buffet.
Well, the other thing I'm intrigued with is that he keeps the food fresh online, which doesn't happen every place that you go for food these days. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep, I'd agree. And, Bill, you don't have to worry so much because we don't force you to eat salads.
No, and Joy, you know, Joy could probably get further with me on that than you could.
Yeah,
she is doing all she can do, and bless her heart. You know, if I really enjoyed the salads, I'd eat the salads.
Yeah.
But I can't do that. But we got maybe 30 seconds. You need to mention desserts. That's something that we touch.
Yes, we do. And we have just brought back our cherry cobbler. It is excellent. And of course, we got our chocolate pudding cake, which is a must. Our brownies, our cinnamon bread twist, and a peanut butter chocolate chip temptation. And they're all better with real vanilla or chocolate ice cream.
John from Valentino's, 41st and Willow. We appreciate all you do. Keep the soup warm.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to all our guests from all over the Midwest for joining us on our It's Your Agribusiness show. We thank Matt Knipling up at Brookings at iGrow.org. For now, though, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Hello, News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.